We are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52. This is the last chapter. When 51 chapter, in the end of the chapter, it says that Jeremiah's words are finished and his prophecy is finished. Somebody said, then who wrote this chapter 52? The chapter 52, some people think that was written by Baruch. You remember Baruch, the Jeremiah's assistant? He also was a priest. This chapter is written by Baruch. Let's go and read from the beginning.
Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna.
Now this Jeremiah is not the same. This is not the Jeremiah's daughter. But here we see this Zedekiah was 21 years old. Can you imagine, young man? And this man was chosen by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to set you a king. Because before that, other king was already taken away, and God prophesied against that king because he burned scroll of the Bible at the prophecy of Jeremiah. And so he was cursed, his children were cursed, there won't be any more king from their family. But here anyhow, this Zedekiah was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. They thought he will be ruling the people, we will be not taking him to Babylon, and he will take care of us and he will listen to us. That's what they were thinking. And this man ruled almost 11 years. You can imagine this man there for 11 years, taking care of the Israeli people. But see, the word of God says, let's read a little bit further.
And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done.
Now here it says, God gave him a chance, 11 years of kingdom, but he did evil in the sight of God. Whatever the other king did, and God cursed him and his family, but this person never learned. There are some people never learn. If somebody makes a mistake, you should not be making the same mistake. But here we see this man also commit sin against God. This is not the one person. God was talking to this Israeli people for years and years and years. God is now very, very angry because these people are not listening. Listen, read the verse 3.
For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon.
Now here he's saying, God was very angry, and God decided to kick these people out of Jerusalem. That means send them to Babylon like a slave. This is what the situation. And when these people were kicked out, Zedekiah still was ruling. He had a chance to be a good king. Babylonian king destroyed so many people. We will be learning in this chapter also, we learned before. But so many people Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. But he has given a chance to be alive and to be king and work. And God is angry. Still God did not say, I'm going to take a Zedekiah and kill him also. Whatever the Nebuchadnezzar does, God says, okay, he's my servant. Let him do whatever he wants to do. So God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to rule. Verse 4.
And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about.
The 9th years of King Zedekiah's reign. 9 years passed. He's not changing. Nebuchadnezzar is not doing any harm to him. But they didn't want any person going out of the city, because Nebuchadnezzar's army is surrounding the city. And those people were warriors, strong warriors. And they are now surrounding the city and trying to destroy the city. But it takes time. So you can see, it took almost 2 years to camp there, check who is who, And what are the people they are going to destroy? What are the cities they are going to destroy? They are all planning. See what the Zedekiah is doing. Let's read the verse 5.
So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land.
Now, here we see all around the enemies, and now there is a famine. You remember God says famine, sword, and disease will come. So the people were dying with the disease, famine, and the Nebuchadnezzar sword. So all these people are in trouble. And still, Zedekiah is doing okay. He's a king. Now, this king is thinking, you know what? I'm going to run away. And nobody will catch me. That's what he's thinking. You have to think that all the Nebuchadnezzar armies all around, and you are appointed king, they know you very well. He did not disguise. He did not say, okay, take the king's garment and everything. Let me be a normal citizen and slowly I will go somewhere, change my name or something and go away and I'll be all right. But he had still army with him. And so he decided, take the army with him, all the soldiers and everyone, and run away in the night time, midnight, so nobody can see. But how are you going to go in the night time without the light? So they have to have some light or something that gives signal to enemy, these people are running. If you would have gone in the daytime or, just mix with the people and slowly go away to another city, you would have been survived. But from this we think he is not that smart young man. He is doing foolish things. So see what's happening. Verse 7.
Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain.
Now what these people did, by what they're doing, breaking the wall, night time, even the small wristwatch will make tick, tick, tick sound. The night time you start breaking the walls, so everybody's going to say, what's happening? So they broke the wall, and they thought, both sides, there are walls, so nobody's going to see us. And so they went, and when they went to the plain ground, Nebuchadnezzar armies saw them and say, arrest these people. And see what happens. Verse 8.
But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him.
Now see what happened here? All the armies were with him. He thought, I have power. My soldiers will fight for me, and they will rescue me. And he depend on those armies. What happened? When the enemy came, they all ran. They ran for their life, and nobody's protecting. You can have the armies, you can have the security, you can have all the protection, but when God is not with you, nothing works. All the soldiers ran away. So here we see, this man had all the soldiers and everyone there to protect him. Not only that, his children, his wife, his relatives, and everybody is with him. And he thought, between all of these people, I will survive. Let these people will be killed and I'll be all right. But didn't happen, because when God's anger was there, the word of God says, God was very angry on Zedekiah, Jerusalem, Judah, and all Israeli people. And God was angry. So you cannot escape from the angry God. Okay, verse 9.
Then they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah, the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him.
Now he said they carried him, not only him, but all the people were with him. They carried him to Babylon. And he says, there they gave him a judgment. Did they take him to court or something? No. They did not take him to court, but you'll see what the judgment is. Let's read the words then.
And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah and Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death.
See what happened here? He said, okay, you thought you're going to run away, taking your children and family and everything. Now they're all in Babylon. And now in front of his eyes, they killed his children, family, all relatives. And when you see that, what happens? If your child is dying, you feel, I should be killed, I should be dead, my children should leave. And that's the kind of situation. In front of his eyes, his children were killed, and he was not able to rescue not a single child or anyone. And everything he saw with his own eyes, they did not make him blind first. If they would have made him blind first and then kill all these people, he would not know who is killed and who is not killed. But they purposely let him see all his children dying in front of him. And then they made him blind. And they said they made him blind, put him in a prison, and he died in the prison as a blind man. It's a sad story. It's a sad thing. But this has written just for us. We should take a note of this. If you get a warning after warning after warning, and you don't listen, this is what happens. Verse 12.
Now in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard brake down all the walls of Jerusalem round about.
Now if you remember, Jeremiah told Zedekiah, if you surrender yourself, and if you do not fight with Nebuchadnezzar, they will not destroy your city, they will not destroy the walls, they will not destroy anything. God gave him the message from Jeremiah, and he asked the question, I am afraid my own people will hand over to king and they will kill me. Jeremiah said, no, they will not kill you. Because they are the ones set you as a king. Why are you afraid of them? Then he's afraid of his own people. They will say something. But Jeremiah gave him advice. Don't run. Don't do any foolish thing. And they will not destroy you. They will not destroy your walls. They will not destroy even Jerusalem. Everything will be all right. But this man was foolishly not listening to the prophet. And that's what happened. And the word of God says, all the king's houses, all the princes' houses, all the wall of Jerusalem, and even the temple was destroyed. 15.
Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen.
Now we learned earlier, this captain, Babylon's king's captain, he allows some poor people to stay in Jerusalem. But in this chapter it says he took some of the poor people and some of the poor people he left. That means in poor people also he saw division. Some poor, they are poor, but they might be strong and healthy. Maybe farm workers or things like that. Let's take them to our country. But some poor people are very, very weak. They cannot do anything. They cannot even be any helpful to us. So let these poor people stay here and they will take care of our farm here and things like that. He made the division, even the poor people. Now some people say, well, these poor people, all the poor people should have been gone, or all the poor people should have been stayed, because he said in another chapter. But see, even the poor people, some of the poor people, even though they are not rich, they don't have the good clothes, they don't have good cars, but they have good hearts. Some of them are godly, some of them are good people. And people, sometimes you see, some people give their tithes and offerings, most of the time the poor people give. Some people say, oh, rich people do give. People were putting money in the treasury. Jesus took his disciples and said, let's watch what's happening. And they saw people putting $1,000, $10,000, $5,000, $1,000. And here comes the poor lady. And she puts 2 pennies, 2 mites. She put it. And Jesus saw it. He said, hey, look, look. This lady put more than anybody else. He said, how come? There are people putting thousands of dollars. Now, people sometimes when they don't have anything, they say, Pastor Peter, please pray for me, or any pastor, pray for me. When I get a job, I'll give 10%. But what happens when they get a job, they get $100, $10 they can give. If they have business, now they're making $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000, then they think, oh, $100,000 for her to give $10,000? It's too much money. Because they do not know, if you have $1 and give 10 cents, and if you give $100, $10, the same mathematics is the same. But what happened when the more money comes, is that too much money. But see, God sees the heart. And it doesn't say in that chapter what happened to this lady, but I figured it out. One day, the word of God says, there was a widow and her son died. I thought the same widow put the 2 mites, thinking, I give everything to God, God will come to rescue me. Because if my son will be healed, then he will work and he will bring the money. I don't have to worry. So she gave everything what she had. That's why Jesus said she had only that much. And she gave everything. When she goes home, son dies. Now the word of God says, God, Jesus Christ, purposely went to that village. Went to that village and the people are taking the dead body and crying, and the mother is crying, going after the child. Jesus stopped it and said, don't cry, everything will be all right. And he raised her son. And I thought, this is what God does. He says, you give, and I will fight your devourer, and I'll pour down the blessings. It means you have lots of money. So our God fights for us. You don't have to worry. The devil was killing her son. The son was very sick. And she goes to the temple and gives everything what she has. And what she got? She got her son back, and she got all the blessings. So the point I'm making, sometimes people think there are poor people because they are not godly. There are some very good people are poor and they don't want to be rich. And sometimes they don't understand. God says, I want everybody to rich. But some people say, oh no, if I get rich, I will forget God. I might not go to church. I don't want to be rich. And so God is not forcing anybody to be rich or anybody to poor. But poverty is a curse. But anyhow, this man kept some poor people here and took some poor people, maybe healthy people, to his country. Okay, let's read verse 17.
Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord and the bases in the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans brake and carried all the brass of them to Babylon.
Okay, now can you imagine? They took all the silver and gold, but they were not satisfied. They want to take all the brass. And you'll see they took the poles. Let's read a little bit, then we'll see. Go on reading.
The cauldrons also, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the bowls, and the spoons, and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered, took they away. And the basins, and the firepans, and the bowls, and the cauldrons, and the candlesticks, and the spoons, and the cups. That which was of gold and gold, and that which was of silver and silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea and 12 brazen bulls that were under the bases which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weights.
Now see here, silver and gold and everything they took, but they start taking all the pillars. They start taking, the word here is sea. Somebody says, well, what is the sea? What Solomon did, he made big container to wash their hands and feet, or maybe take a bath before they go to do the priest job. And they were tall bulls facing out. And then on the top of that big basin like a sea, put it on there. So you can see how much brass was there. And then they say the pillars, they were pillars, what, how many feet? They were 27 feet tall pillars, 18 feet wide, and 3 inches thick. Can you imagine all this brass, hundreds and thousands of pounds? They said they could not even count the brass. That much brass. And these pillars were also decorated with all the pomegranates and all the decoration. Now each pillar has like a 96 pomegranate. Okay, please read.
And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and a fillet of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers. It was hollow. And the chapiter of brass was upon it, and the height of one chapiter was 5 cubits, with network and pomegranates upon the chapiters round about, all of brass. The second pillar also and the pomegranates were like unto these. And there were 96 pomegranates on a side, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about.
Think about this, all these pillars and the silver and gold. But you can see thousands and thousands of pounds of silver and gold and brass and all these pipes. They could not even take this big 27 feet tall pipes. So they have to cut them into small pieces and take it. And so all this wealth is gone. We already read in the other chapters when God says, I'm going to destroy the Babylon, we already saw. God did not tell these people to take all my silver and take all my gold and destroy my temple and everything. God did not say that. But God was angry with the children of Israel. But they did more than what God says. That's why God says, we studied, you destroyed my temple. That's why I'm going to destroy you. And the Babylon already destroyed. And now a real Babylon, again now a flourishing, that Babylon will be destroyed one day, and we already studied about that. Okay, verse 24.
And the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest, and Zephaniah the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. He took also out of the city an eunuch which had the charge of the men of war, and 7 men of them that were near the king's person that were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host who mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the midst of the city. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land.
Can you imagine all these people who ran away, not protecting their own king, Zedekiah? You remember they ran away? All these warriors and guards and people who were watching and taking care of the temple guards. Everybody, they brought these people to Babylon, presented to the king, and what king did? Killed them all. And I was thinking, all these warriors and all these kings and their children, they were all killed. But God protected God's people. Jeremiah, they didn't kill. Baruch, they didn't kill. And there is another person's name is here, Sarah. All these people, God's people, God protected. So from that we know, the word of God says, God knows how to destroy the enemy and how to protect his own people. If you read the 91 Psalm, it says, if you stay close to the Lord, under his wings, nothing will harm you. Thousands and ten thousands your right and left you see, but it will not harm you. And he says, I will give you long life and I will show you my salvation. That's the God's plan. God doesn't want his children to die prematurely, means before the time. God wants you to live a long life. So I'm just saying, just trust in God and God will take care of you. All these hundreds and thousands of people were killed, Babylonian people. Jeremiah was given freedom. Says, hey, Jeremiah, you want to come to Babylon? We'll take you. You want to stay in your country? We'll keep you. You have your own freedom. Baruch, God says, Jeremiah, tell Baruch, your brother is a big officer. He's working in for government. Tell him, don't think that you have to be like him. You just serve the Lord. I will take care of you. And you will not die. No Babylonian people will kill you. You're free. Go anywhere. And then we say, Sarayah, this is also a priest. They did not kill him. You remember one man helped Jeremiah taking out of the pit? God says, tell him, you are not going to die. I'm going to protect you. So God knows how to protect you. Now somebody says, I should not go to doctor at all. No, if you have a toothache and tooth is hanging and you have a lot of pain and you cannot do it, go. That doctor will give you injection, take it out. Within one day, we'll take all of your teeth out, we'll put on brand new teeth, you'll have good smile within one day. If you want eyeglasses, go and do it. If you have babies, you take them to hospital because baby do not know what is happening. And if you don't take the babies to hospital, government will put you in a jail. So for that reason, you take your babies. We did the same. My son, when he was 17 or 18, until that, I took him. My daughter, the same. When they become 17, 18, I said, now you make your own decision. Since that time, my son never took one pill, never went to the hospital, never took one injection. He is taking, okay, daddy is alive. Why should I do it? So he's alive. We have to trust in God. My wife, when she was working, when she gets sick, headache, body ache, or anything, and she calls the hospital, they say, oh, I cannot come today. Okay. When you come back, you have to get the doctor's letter. The doctor is not going to give false letter. So you have to go to doctor and say, prescribe some medicine, some pills or something, and then you show to them, and then you'll be all right. So that's what my wife was doing. She got a heart attack, middle of the night. And she came to the living room. I put my hand here, the water is pouring like anything and I can gather in my hands. So I said to my wife, your mother, your father, your brother, they know I don't take medicine. And if I don't take you to the hospital, you die, they will find fault in me. So I said, I'm going to call the ambulance and I'll take you to the hospital. She said, no, no, no. Then I said, I'll take you. She said, no, no, no. I said, why are you afraid of doctors? She said, I worked in the hospital. I know how many people died. And I know if I go right now in this condition, they will do open heart surgery and I'll die. So if God wants to take me, I'll die in the house. You pray for me. I prayed for her. God healed her. After that time, she never took any pills. She never went to doctor. She used to go to dentist all the time. Even the dentist is not a bad thing. But one time, her tooth was having problem. And I said, we'll pray, everything will be all right. But she went to the dentist anyhow. The dentist ruined her teeth. And so she said, I'm not going to go to dentist anymore. By the grace of God, everything is fine. God is the one who can take care of us. People call me, say that my tooth is hurting and I'm afraid to go to doctor. Could you please pray? I said, lay hand there, I'm going to pray. And next day, the tooth is out without surgery. It happened not one time, many, many times. So God is the one who takes care of us. But I'm not against. Like you go to the people to do your nails. You can get the nail cutter and do it. But people wants to go fancy nails. So spend $25 and do it. But if you have the money, you do. I'm not saying don't do your hair or don't do your nails. If you have the money, do it. But by the grace of God, I don't do it. My wife doesn't do it. And we don't go to the hairdresser. My wife is my barber. And so, what I'm trying to say, we save the money. We do not want to risk our life in somebody's hand. So here we see, God is the one protecting his people in all the danger zones. So we should be trusting in God. Verse 28.
This is the people whom Nebuchadrezzar carried away captive in the seventh year, 3,000 Jews and 23. In the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadrezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600.
I was thinking this man had the power to take all the people in the same time, but he did years between, and he gave one after another, three batches of people were taken. At that particular time, God gave these people to repent. If they repented, if you remember, we learned that some of the people told Jeremiah, you know what? We are going to go to Egypt. You remember that? And Jeremiah said, don't go to Egypt. Then they said, you go and talk to God and see what God's saying. Jeremiah went. 10 days later, he comes and he says, you know what? God told me, tell these people, do not go to Egypt. Stay in Jerusalem and Judea. They thought thinking he's crazy. He's the one told us, if you stay in the land, you will be killed. Go to Babylon and you will be safe there. You will be built houses. You will live there. You get married. Your children get married. And you will be there for 70 years. Safe. Go. And now same man telling us, don't go to Egypt. They got confused. And we heard what they did. They took Jeremiah. They took Baruch as a prisoners and they went to Egypt. And their God used the Jeremiah telling these people that Egypt also will be destroyed. So they were not saved there. So these people, they had a chance. People went to Egypt. They are having problem. Some people went to Babylon and they got killed. We should be repenting and putting everything first in the hand of God. But thank God, he says 4,600 people were taken, where they took alive to that country. And that also, they were taken by, you know, years apart. Some of the people went first, they were there. Now, all these people, even though they went different timing, but when the 70 years finishes, all these people will be freed. So God protected these people somehow. And even though they went to Egypt, these people didn't say that they bought these 4,600 and killed them. They were not killed. Only people were killed in the higher authorities and the warriors and the soldiers. God protected these people this many years, and time of returning, God brought them out. Okay, verse 31.
And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison.
Now here we see King Nebuchadnezzar is gone, and another king, this was Merodach or something, this king comes. He is an evil king, worse than Nebuchadnezzar. And now this king maybe heard about Jehoiakim's son. As you know, the Jehoiakim's son was not good man. Jehoiakim was not good person. They were already cursed. This man is in a prison. And I start thinking, why in the world this man is releasing this bad king's son and bringing him out and saying, hey, you come and sit at my table and eat with me. Why this happened? See, the evil people needs evil company. He found out this man is a bad man, but I need his company. And so he got him out and he started eating the food with him. That did not help Jehoiachin. He got maybe final years to have a good food and have a sit at the king's table and enjoy the king's food, and king is helping. God might be so much pleased with me. But this has not happened. See, some people, when they are so wicked, you see them prospering. They have houses and cars and good food and servants and everything, and you think, this person is so bad. How many girlfriends he has and how much money he spends, and he's living in luxury. The same way the David thought. He says, don't worry what's happening to these rich people. And he says, I just went away murmuring about these rich people. And when I saw these rich people flourishing like a green bay tree, and when I came back, I could not see the root. What happened? All destroyed. The money flies, the fame flies, your bodybuilding will go away, and when the sickness and disease comes, nobody will even recognize you. I've seen the people like a 200, 300 pounds, when they get sick, you cannot hardly recognize them. So the point I'm making, all these people are going to go to hell, so God gives him a little bit luxury in this world, because they are going to be punished, and their punishment will be not for one day, for eternity. This is what happened to this king. Let's read.
And spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. As for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life.
All the luxury he got. Prison garments are gone, new garments, good food, good luxury, money, and everything until he dies. So you might be thinking, wow, I might have done something good. But he was an evil king, and he got some chance, but he or his children will never be the kings in Judah or Jerusalem. And that's the way the chapter ends. So we finished Book of Jeremiah, chapter 52. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for giving us grace. Thank you for protecting us. We love you, Jesus, because you loved us first. We look all around the problems, but you have given us faith, you have given us grace, and we are living by your grace. Every day when we finish and look at a new day, one day closer for your coming. We believe that you are coming very soon. Lord, please forgive all our sins and all our shortcomings, and give us grace and good heart to start a new life We don't know how long we are going to live. But we want to live for you and for your glory. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Whatever you have given to us, we want to use it for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.